In the name of Jesus, our Savior. At one time during my parish ministry, I conducted an activity with a weekday morning ladies' Bible study. First thing I did was to pose to the ladies the question, "You are all sure that you're going to heaven, aren't you?" To this question, I received all sorts of affirmative answers, assurances to me in the gospel, answers which indicated that I had occasionally done my job in the pulpit. But then, having established that much, that heaven was theirs, I posed a second question. Suppose you knew you were going to heaven at midnight tonight. What would you do with the rest of the day? Now, at this point, I received all sorts of Midwestern answers to the question. "Going to heaven at midnight, huh?" One of them said, "Well, I would clean the house." Another said she would fill the refrigerator. I would think that perhaps the most gospel thing to do would be to clean out the refrigerator. You know what kinds of things lurk in the dark recesses of refrigerators. Another one said she'd fix for a family a nice supper as a last meal. One said she'd teach her husband how to do the laundry. I received all sorts of answers which they had never heard from the pulpit. Other answers they gave were a little bit more thought-provoking. One mentioned how she had been feuding with a neighbor for many years, and she would try to be reconciled with that neighbor during the rest of the day. Another one said that she had a lifelong friend that she had never gotten up the nerve to tell about Jesus. She would do that. Another one said that she would tell her husband and her children how much she loved them because she hadn't done so of late. You know the point of the exercise, don't you? By faith, we live every day in this earth like it is our last day on earth. The answers that they gave were beautiful in their own way. What seemed to be happening in that class is this. The first question reminded them, reassured them of heaven itself. That reassurance, pure and simply, focused their minds on the grace of God. And what the grace of God meant to them on the last day and every day until the last day. That reassurance focused them on what our Savior had done for them and how they had been called and chosen purely by grace. And with their minds so focused, the answers to question two started to freely flow. And spontaneously out from their mouths came good things, in many ways touching things, worthwhile things, wholesome things, loving things. The things that the Apostle Paul would say, think on these things. But perhaps the neatest thing about the answers that they gave was there wasn't a hint of panic in any of their answers. You see, the outcome at the end of the day was never in doubt. The outcome at the end of the day in no way depended upon what they did the rest of the day. They were already focused on grace, and grace is grace. And yet, as weak as they were, even though they may have burnt the roast for the last meal, even though they may have found in their refrigerator something dated from 1976, they started to reflect ever so dimly with that gospel focus, the will of their holy God, the will of Him who had declared them holy. Basically, this is the message from 1 Peter. The first section of the book reminds us of our living hope, that we have an inheritance of eternal life in heaven, which is undefiled, for which we are carefully guarded every day of our life. The first section gives the absolute assurance that the outcome of our faith is eternal salvation. And then in this second section, the section that was read to you, the simple message is to focus on that grace. Focus on that grace, and your living hope will become a lived hope through the power of the gospel. Focus on that grace, and you will know that your life here at home is really nothing more than an exile away from home. Focus on that grace, and you will know that your life as an aimless orphan is over, because you are now a child of God. By the power of the gospel, you will be a child of God whose life starts to reflect ever so dimly the will of our Heavenly Father, or as Adolf Kaberle would say, our lives begin to reflect the will of the very one who has made us holy. Peter describes this incessant focus on the gospel in three ways. First, he says, gird up your minds. Gird up your minds like a man who ties up his robes for a trip or for doing some work. So Peter says, bind up your mind. Bind it up as someone who is going someplace, as someone who is going someplace wonderful. And as you focus on that glorious destination, you will also be binding up your mind for purposeful work as a child of God in the kingdom of God. Secondly, he says, be sober. Now, beyond what that phrase obviously means for us Lutherans, it refers to careful, deliberate thinking, the deliberate weighing of things, a cleaning out of your mental refrigerator, a calm and steady mind, a mind that is not driven by infatuations and passions and knee-jerk reactions, a mind that is just the opposite of what the charismatic movement would enjoin, where we let our minds go willy-nilly. It says, keep your mind under control through the Word of God, through the message of the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. Through the Word of God, you will be focused on that grace of God each day and the reward of grace on the last day. And finally, he says literally, set your hope with all finality on what is final for you. Heaven is final, and heaven is yours, and that's final. And the destination of that grace is going to affect the route of your pilgrimage. Systematically speaking, this text shows us that the sanctified life flows from the doctrine of justification. The sanctified life is not some kind of a separate topic where we leave the gospel behind. It is life lived out in the gospel. Like with the ladies, there is no panic about this life in the gospel because the outcome is never in doubt. In the second verse of this book, Peter says, we do not obey so that we can become holy. He says, we have been made holy, and the result is that we obey with the obedience of faith. The fear of God's judgment has been converted to thoughts of Calvary, where Christ experienced the justice of God for our sakes as the sinless, spotless Passover lamb. Christ did the work. And your part? Christ himself says it best. This is the work of God, that you believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.